Okay, turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 6. I'm just going to cover one verse tonight. Proverbs 10, 6. Let's see. It says, Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So we'll look at the happy part of the verse first, and then the sad part of it next. Blessings are upon the head of the just. So a blessing is hallowing or consecration. It is the bestowal of divine favor and prospering influence, favor and prospering influence of God, a beneficent gift of God, nature, etc., anything that makes happy or prosperous, a boon. So a blessing is when God gives you something good that makes you happy and improves your life and makes you prosperous, things like that. Good things, in other words. And it says blessings are on the head of the just, and a just man is one that does what is morally right, righteous, just before or with God, or simply just, righteous in the sight of God, justified. So, in other words, a good man that does what is right, that does what the scripture says, a man that does that has blessings that are coming on his head. And it says there, if you saw that it's in the plural, blessings are upon the just. So in other words, God bestows divine favor on, and he prospers and makes happy those who are righteous in his sight in a number of ways. So it's not just a blessing, but blessings. So there's all, you know, different things that God blesses us with when we are just in his sight. It says in Proverbs 28 and verse 20 that a faithful man will abound with blessings. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So when you abound with something, it is to be present in overflowing measure, to be plentiful, to prevail widely. So when it says you abound with blessings, that means that you got a lot of them and to spare. It kind of reminds me of that verse in Luke chapter 6, when it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So that's the kind of blessings that God lavishes on those who keep his word. And I was just reading in Leviticus 26 this morning, and I'm not going to spend any time on this, just to point it out to you. And it's somewhat of a parallel with Deuteronomy 28. But this really impressed upon me this morning, just the importance of keeping God's commandments. And this is basically what this verse is saying. I will just read you just a few verses here. In Leviticus 26, the Lord tells him, first of all, not to worship idols and to only worship him and to keep his Sabbaths. And then in verse 3, he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. So if they would just keep his statutes and his commandments, he would bless them. He'd give them rain, he'd give them crops, and they'd have so many crops that the threshing would reach unto the vintage, and the vintage unto the sowing time. So it's like from one season to the next, you have enough, and you're still working on the previous one when the next one's coming in. Like, it's just going to be in abundance. And he's also going to bless them, bless their land with safety, and he'll give them peace in the land, as he says there in the next verse. So I was just thinking about that, and I just thought, how sad is it in the country that we live in that people don't believe that, don't take that to heart? And when they see the opposite of that happening, and when they see all this judgment, all these terrible things happening to us, they never once think, is this the judgment of God upon us? Should we repent? Should we keep his word? I don't even think it crosses most people's mind out there in the world. What a blessed life and existence and country we could have if people just kept God's word. It'd be just that simple, but just like Israel of old, it just doesn't happen. So let's look at some of these blessings. So we can break the blessings into two groups, into spiritual blessings and natural / material blessings. And God blesses his faithful children with both. we're just going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And this passage here in Ephesians 1 really gives us it expounds upon these blessings that are laid up for the just. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So that's blessings, right? Blessings are upon the head of the just. God's blessed us with them. And this is speaking to just people because it says in the next verse, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That's just, right? Righteous. So let's just look at some of these blessings that accrue to the just. These are spiritual blessings, and these ones come from God, and these ones come by his grace alone. Now, there are other spiritual blessings that come through our obedience, but these ones come to us because we're children of God. First of all is election, there in verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Think about what a blessing that is, to be chosen by God. Right? Is there a greater blessing than that? Sonship, to be a son of God, is the next blessing, verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." The next one is divine acceptance, to be accepted by God, verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." To be accepted of God. You know, there's a lot of us, a lot of people, probably are struggle with not being accepted by other people. Everybody probably experienced that when they were in school, right? Because there was always kids that didn't accept you, that they didn't want anything to do with you. They wanted to exclude you and you know, not let you into their group or something. And people still experience that, especially when you're a weirdo like me, you know, where people just, they're like, "Ah, he's just different. I don't care for him." But if you're accepted by God, who really cares if you're accepted by men? You know, if nobody in that place yesterday accepted me because of what I said, you think it bothers me one iota? No, it doesn't, because I know I'm accepted by God. Then we have forgiveness of sins, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now that's a spiritual blessing, because if we didn't have that one, we'd be going to hell. So that's a pretty big blessing, that God would forgive our sins when he had no reason to do so, because he was the offended one, we're the one that sinned against him, and yet he blessed us. The knowledge of God's will, verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." What a blessing is that? Because most people out there in the world today, they don't know anything about God's will. They don't know anything about God's word. They know very, very little about, if they even believe there's a God, they know very little about him. Today, you know, 100 years ago, that would have been different. The average person would have known a lot more. But how blessed are we to know God's will through his word? And then an heavenly inheritance on the new earth in verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." This inheritance is our eternal inheritance that we will receive at the second coming of Christ, when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, and we get that possession that we have been waiting for so long. And then you have the Holy Spirit, which is given to us in two different ways. One is through faith, and we'll just see that here in, I'll just do verse 13 since that one's next, and then we'll go to the other one. But in verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory." Now this one, this receiving of the Holy Spirit here is through faith. It's through baptism. Because it says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is not the Holy Spirit in regeneration. This is once you've been regenerated, once you've come to faith, once you've obeyed the gospel and were baptized, then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise at your baptism, just like Jesus was. when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit then descended upon him like a dove. And it says of him, him hath the Father sealed. So Christ was sealed at his baptism when God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was the seal. That was the stamp on him saying, this is my Son. He told everybody right there, this is my Son. And it happened at his baptism. Same thing happens to us at our baptism. That's when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the down payment, if you will, the proof that we are the sons of God. You have a question?
It's not a new spirit, but the Holy Spirit?
It's the Holy Spirit given at baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, okay.
And you're added by the Spirit to the church. You're made to drink into one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. It's not regeneration. It's not. This comes after regeneration.
I think at one point you said that the earnest is our new spirit, because I put it right next to that verse.
No, the earnest is the Spirit. When we're given the Spirit there, that's the proof that we will get, that our bodies will be redeemed.
Okay, so this is wrong then.
Yeah, it comes after you that she believed. So no, that's not the new birth or regeneration.
Okay, thank you.
But we do get the Holy Spirit through regeneration. In Galatians 3 and verse 14. You really have to back up. Just one verse will be enough. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So here, this receiving the promise of the Spirit through faith, the Spirit was promised to the children of God. It's through the faith of Christ, because it came by Christ hanging on the tree, Christ dying for our sins. And the faith there is Christ's faith, not our faith. And if you go down to verse 22, it says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, see, it's the same promise he's talking about here, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Them that believe identifies who the promise was given to. But the promise comes by the faith of Christ. It was by his faith that the Holy Spirit is given to us in regeneration when he saves us from our sins. Them that believe show, yeah, you're the one that has the evidence that happened, that Christ saved you and put his Spirit into your heart in regeneration. And I'll give you one more in Galatians 4 and verse 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when he made you a son of God, that's when the Spirit took up residence in your heart. And you can see that also in Romans chapter 6 as well. Okay, so those are some of the spiritual blessings that come to the just. And then lastly, which I already read there in verse 14, we have our resurrected, glorified bodies there in Ephesians 1:14. That's the redemption of the purchased possession that we read about there. So that will be the culmination of all the spiritual blessings that have come to us through what Christ did for us when our bodies are redeemed from corruption, just like our spirits and our souls have already been. It says that he shall change our vile bodies to be made like unto his glorious body in Philippians 3 and verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So those are some of the spiritual blessings that come to the righteous, that were made righteous by what Christ did for us. But then we also have physical and temporal blessings that are given to us when we live according to God's commandments. And in some cases, even when we don't. But these are ones that are coming to us when we do live by them. And that is, first one would be sunshine and rain from heaven in Matthew 5:45. Which I'm going to try to just kind of go through these quickly. Matthew 5:45, I'm just listing off all the blessings that God says that he gives to the just. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now sometimes the unjust get rain sent on them too. But when you read Deuteronomy 28 and you read Leviticus 26, you also see that God withholds rain from the unjust. So sometimes the unjust end up being rained on in a good sense, just because God sends rain and their neighbors were the just ones that needed it, right? But sometimes God definitely withholds it from them. And then how about a happy home? Proverbs 3 and verse 33. That's a blessing that accrues to the just. Because when you live by God's word and you do what he says, well, things work out well for you. When you don't, and we all know people like this, they don't have a happy home because, right, they're not living according to God's commandments and they're kids are out of control and their spouses are abusing each other and not treating each other well, and they're in all kinds of trouble and problems. And but when you live according to God's word, that normally doesn't happen. Proverbs 3:33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Blessings are upon the head of the just and upon the house of the just, for that matter. That's what it says there. And then how about godly children? Now, Proverbs 20 and verse 7. Here's another blessing that comes on the head of the just. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So he has children, and in that his children are blessed after him, that means he's been blessed with good children, and his children also get a blessing as well. And in Genesis 49 and verse 25, likewise shows us that the just are blessed with godly children. Of course, remember the Proverbs, and that doesn't mean that every just person will have all godly children, right? That we all know exceptions to the rule. Genesis 29 and verse 25 says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. So God gives the blessing of the womb. He gives children to the just. Then we're going to just go through quickly here Deuteronomy 28, because this is the chapter which talks about the blessings and the curses that come to the righteous and the wicked, respectively. And we just see here a number of blessings that come to people who keep God's commandments, who are just, in other words. The first one is food and provision. Let's just read verses 1 and 2. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So what the Lord is describing there is a just person, because a just person is morally righteous, which keeps God's commandments. And he says people that do that will be blessed, and then he goes on and he lists all these blessings. So first one is food and provision, verses 4 and 5. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So your animals are going to be doing well. They're going to be prospering. You're going to have lots of flesh to eat, lots of milk to drink, eggs, things like that. Your basket's going to be full, full of grain, full of food from the field. That's the blessings that accrue to the just. And then you have safety and security, verses 6 and 7. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and shall flee before thee seven ways. So you're going to be protected. When enemies try to do you harm, they're not going to be able to. The Lord will take care of you. And then you have productive work and savings there in verse 8 and 12. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. That's where you store up all the grain and everything that you had planted. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then down in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So the Lord will bless with productive work and savings to the just. Now, when you look at this on a national scale, I don't think it's a coincidence that this nation used to be the largest creditor nation on the face of the earth, the wealthiest nation, and we as a nation lent to other nations. We always had a huge trade surplus, and other nations owed us money. But now look at what's happened to the morality of this country in the last couple of generations, and now look at us, the largest debtor nation the world's ever known. We owe more money to more people than any other nation on earth. $30 trillion of debt, most of which is owed to foreigners. God's word is true. We haven't kept his commandments. We have not hearkened diligently to the voice of the Lord our God. And what's happened? Now we're not the head, now we're the tail. Now we're not lending, now we're borrowing. Our nation's in debt up to its eyeballs on every level. This is exactly what God said would happen. It's amazing how right the Bible is thousands of years ago. People think it's just some old antiquated Bronze Age book. They don't know what they're talking about. And then the blessing of being God's holy people on this earth. Verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So if they would keep his commandments, they would be that special people to him. They would be the ones that he had a special interest in to the exclusion of every other nation on the earth. And they were for a while when they kept his commandments. And then when they didn't, he scattered them abroad through the other nations and got rid of them for 70 years and then regathered them to the land. And then a few hundred years later did the same thing and scattered them again. But if people will do that, and I go back to this country. I think, in a sense, that was this country. This country was founded on Christian principles for the most part, and it was Christian influenced, and a lot of people were church-going, Bible-believing people, and this nation was exquisitely blessed by God. And now look at it. Not anymore. It's just what God said. And then how about recognition and respect from others? This is another blessing that accrues to the just. Verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. So you get respect. Our country's not respected anymore either. And rightly so. Why? We fill the world with filth. Pornography, the majority of the pornography in the world, I believe, comes from this country. Hollywood, all the filthy movies that we put out, all the filthy music. It's no wonder we have no respect. And not to mention, all the countries we've attacked and bombed and destroyed. It's no wonder we don't have any respect in the world, and nor do we deserve it. And then wealth, verse 11, and the Lord thy God shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. So he will prosper materially, the just, both individually and nationally. And we see both of those things have been diminished in the last few generations because we've turned our backs on the Lord. And having many children, verse 11, he said there that in the fruit of thy body. And in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, it says that the man is blessed that has many children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy, which means blessed, is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's indicative of a country, I believe, some people might not like this, but I think it's indicative of a country in which people do not desire or want many children. Most people think many children are a curse today. You talk to the average person out there, especially in an urban area, and ask them, would you think you'd be blessed if you had 5, 6, 7 kids? Most people would shriek back in horror and think, oh, I can't even deal with the 2 I have. You know, they would think that's, most people would think you're nuts for that. I think it's just indicative that what God calls a blessing, most people today would call a burden. It's weird, but that's the way it is. Most people don't want very many, and actually a lot of people don't want any these days, which is quite sad. And then social status and power. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So yes, power and status will come to the just. Those are some blessings. They'll be the head, not the tail. Of course, all those things, when you read through the rest of the chapter, pretty much get negated. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, whatever reason, God has a lot more curses for the wicked than he does blessings for the just. Because when you look at Deuteronomy and you look at the breakup of it, yeah, there's 14 verses mm-hmm. of blessings, and then, well, you know, like the other, up until verse 68 is curses. So, yeah, he's got a lot more curses than blessings. Now, I just want to take a couple of minutes and look at this. Blessings are on the head of the just. Because, you know, when I read stuff like that, I just think, well, what does that mean? Blessings are on the head. It doesn't say blessings are on the foot or the kneecap or the elbow or something. It says it's on the head. And, you know, what exactly does that mean? I don't know if I have the best answer, but for one thing, the head of a man is where most of his sensory organs are, which perceive and enjoy the physical blessings from God. So when you think about it, if blessings are on your head is where you enjoy most of those blessings, right? Your head is, do I even need to read you? I don't even think I really need to read you the definition of it, but it's where your sense organs are. I would just spare you that. So if you think about it, the blessings of food, drink, sunlight, art, beautiful scenery, music, comforting words, savory smells, fond memories, all of those come upon and through the head of the just, literally. So that could be something of why the blessings are on the head of the just, because that's where most of them come through. Of course, the head, your head is like the most important part of your body. It kind of represents your body. It's, you know, typically when you meet somebody, where do you look at them when you meet them, right? In the head, right? That's kind of, that represents you more than any other part of your body. So that would also be the blessings are on the head of the just, I think. And then also the head of man is representative of his mind through which he perceives and enjoys spiritual blessings. Head also means as the seat of mind, thought, intellect, memory, or imagination. It is the brain. It's often contrasted with heart as the seat of the emotions. So think about it. The blessings of the knowledge of God, understanding the Word of God, being able to imagine our heavenly inheritance, and being able to spiritually recognize the church as the kingdom of God, all come through and upon the head of the just. So that's something to think about too. And then there are a number of verses which associate God's blessings with a man's head. And I'm just going to give you a few of these. Proverbs 11 and verse 26. Proverbs 11, 26. Says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So, you know, if Joseph, for instance, would have had all this corn that he laid up in Egypt, and then wasn't willing to sell it, they would have been cursing him, right? But when he sold it to them, blessings came showering upon his head. They were happy with him. Kings, for instance, were anointed with oil, and the oil was poured where? On their head, right? 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Now that's a blessing, to be king of the land, and that blessing came kind of literally as oil on his head, which is kind of interesting. In Proverbs 21, 1 through 3, God will give him who rejoices in his salvation blessings of goodness, which are like a crown of pure gold on his head. Proverbs 21. Oh, Psalm, thank you. Psalm 21, 1 through 3. Hopefully I have the right reference there. Probably do. Psalm 21, 1 through 3. Psalm 21, 1 through 3. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. The blessings of goodness are as a crown of pure gold set on his head. Blessings are upon the head of the just. And then I won't read these verses, but you remember when Jacob was going to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons, and he brought them to him, and he put his hands on their heads. And he actually did this. He put his right hand on the left one's head and vice versa. And he said he did it wittingly. He wanted to confer the blessing of the right hand on the youngest one. And Joseph tried to move them around. He says, "No, I know what I'm doing." And anyway, but those blessings were conferred upon their heads. He put his hand on their heads. And it was said in Genesis 49:26 that the blessings of God were upon the head of Joseph. Genesis 49:26. It says, "The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." Now, it's interesting, on the other side of the coin, that judgments and punishments are said to fall upon the head of the wicked. And I just give you a couple of verses there. Jeremiah 23 and verse 19. If you wanted to punish somebody, you really wanted to punish them, you whack them in the head with something, that'll do them in pretty good. And if you wanted to bless somebody, well, you can give them all kinds of things to their head, like food and nice music and compliments, and right, all those things come into the head. Jeremiah 23 and verse 19. Jeremiah 23:19. "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked." So in this case, judgment's coming down on their heads. And one more, 1 Kings 8 and verse 32. 1 Kings 8 and verse 32. "Then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness." So bringing it down on his own head. All right, now let's get to the second part of the verse. This won't take as long. said, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So whereas the just have blessings covering their heads, the wicked have violence covering their mouths. Violence is the exercise of physical force so as to inflict injury on or cause damage to persons or property, actions or conduct characterized by this, treatment or usage tending to cause bodily injury or forcibly interfering with personal freedom. So, violence covering their mouths, part of that is violent words and injurious words coming out of their mouths like swords, because that's how the Bible describes words like that, words that injure is swords. Psalm 59 and verse 7. This would be part of the violence covering their mouths. I don't even think I have this verse in here, but in Romans 3 it says their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, right? Violence is covering their mouth. Psalm 59 and verse 7. Psalm 59 verse 7. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? They belch out with their mouth, using cutting, sharp words, words that hurt. That's what people, that their mouth is covered with violence, that's what they do. Look at Proverbs 12 and verse 18. And it's just like the judge said yesterday. You know, you have a lot of people now that are cursing in our culture. There's much more cursing than there used to be. And much more cursing in public and in open, and like he was saying. I mean, this is indicative of a country that's gone awry. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Health is kind of the opposite of violence, right? The tongue of the wicked causes harm. The tongue of the wise causes healing. Right? And then Psalm 64 and verse 3. Psalm 64 and verse 3. Says, who wet their tongue like a sword. When you wet a sword, you sharpen it, right? Like a whetstone. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That's the violence that's covering their mouth. It's just all over it. When you look at them, all you see is just nasty words, words that hurt, words that condemn, words that discourage. That's what the wicked are full of. Violence covers the wicked, including their mouth, like a garment. Psalm 73 and verse 6. This is what the psalmist in Psalm 73 was lamenting, how evil the wicked are and how they seem to get away with everything. And Psalm 73 and verse 6 says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. So it's covering all of them, including their mouth. To cover is to put or lay something over an object with the effect of hiding from view, protecting, or enclosing. To overlay, overspread with. So in other words, the wicked are enclosed by violence. That's all they think about. That's all they talk about. That's all they want to do. Unfortunately, a lot of those types end up making their way into government. And that's why we have all these wars. You have people that are basically psychopaths and sociopaths that have no empathy for other people, and they don't mind is if they're getting kickbacks from military contractors, from companies that build the bombs and the tanks and the guns, and they don't mind using those things and destroying other people's lives and countries because, you know, they personally benefit from it. Violence covers them. So when one looks at them, he sees violent acts, violent intents, and violent tendencies. And this is what's in men by nature. You know, if you take a little kid and don't do anything don't discipline him at all. And I mean, he'll be hitting and punching and biting, and I mean, just he'll just be really nasty to other kids, and he would grow up being that way in adulthood too. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked like food covers a glutton's mouth. It says in Proverbs 13:2 that the souls of sinners eat violence. It's like they just eat it up, as the saying goes. Proverbs 13 and verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. See, the good man, he lives by the fruit of his mouth, by the things that he tells others and tells himself. He can actually feed himself and make, you know, and improve his life and his outlook on things, whereas the soul of the transgressors eat violence. They just can't get enough of it. It says in Proverbs 19:28 that the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Proverbs 19 and verse 28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. They just love it. It's weird. And the wicked devour other men by violence. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13. Says, thou art, this is Habakkuk speaking to the Lord, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and behold, and holdest thy tongue, when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And he's talking about the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and they were, at least in Habakkuk's eyes, more wicked than Israel, and they were devouring Israel, and he's asking God, why are you holding your tongue when this is happening? But the point is, these people were they loved violence so that violence is covering their mouth. They're devouring other people by their violent acts. Just like the Pharisees, they said that they devoured widows' houses, right? They were violent, whether they were physically assaulting the widows or not, but they were, whatever they were doing, however they were coercing them and robbing them, that was the effect, devouring their houses. So the mouth of the righteous brings forth things which foster life and flourishing, while the mouth of the wicked brings forth violence. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. It says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You see the contrast there. One man's mouth is a well of life. The other one is covered with violence. And that's, you know, indicative of the children of God, of the just versus the unjust. I'll just give you some examples of this violence that covers the mouth of the wicked. The wicked overthrow cities with the violence coming out of their mouths. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And how many cities have been overthrown by mouths of the wicked? You think like the communist revolution. I mean, a whole country was overthrown by the mouths of the wicked. The French Revolution. It starts off with ideas, and then it's vocalized, and you have somebody that's a good speaker that can talk the rest of the dupes into doing whatever they want to, and by their mouth and by their wicked designs, they can convince people to overthrow a city or a country, and it's happened numerous times throughout history. And it says in Proverbs 12:6 that the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. I don't think I have the verse here, but Proverbs chapter 1, you remember that when they said, come, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, lurk privily for the innocent without cause, right? This is their words, their violent words, trying to entice other people to join their club to be able to harm others. And Proverbs, this would be the last verse, Proverbs 16 and verse 30 tells us that they move their lips to bring evil to pass. Says he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. That's what it is to have your mouth covered with violence. What I should have done is done the second half of the verse first, and then did the first half of the verse second, and then we could end on a happy note. That wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense. So, but anyway, just to recap, blessings are upon the head of the just. So when you keep God's commandments and do what he says, all those blessings that we talked about accrue to you. And just because the rest of our culture is going to hell in a handbasket, as they say, just because they're not keeping God's commandments and they're suffering for it and they're not enjoying what could be a good and happy life, doesn't mean that we have to do that, right? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we could shine as lights, as it says in Philippians. We can save ourselves from this froward, this perverse and wicked generation. So we just keep God's commandments and just watch and see how he showers the blessings down on our heads. And that's what I was thinking of this morning when I was reading Leviticus 26. And I just thought, you know, that's just what I want to try to do and just do what God says and live a blessed life. So thanks for your kind and patient attention this evening.
Thank you. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.